Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much, Professor Barlow. I really enjoyed your presentation and lots of food for thought for our midwifery practice, particularly with the transition to parenthood. So our final speaker of the session is Dr. Patricia Gillen, and she is the chair of the RCM board. Dr. Gillen is going to talk to us about midwives' contribution to the health and well-being of mothers and babies in the world. Please welcome her to our student conference.
Well, good afternoon. I'm really delighted to be here. I've spoken to the student conference before. Quite a few years ago, it was in Leeds Armouries at the time, and I spoke about bullying in midwifery. But today, I'm speaking to you on a much more positive note about midwives' contribution to the health and well-being of mothers and babies in the world. So, some sad statistics, ones that have been rehearsed many times. Every 2 minutes, a woman dies from potentially avoidable and preventable problems in childbirth and pregnancy. So in the 20 minutes I'm talking to you, 10 more women will have died globally. 800 mothers a day, so by the time we're all going to bed tonight after being at our party, 800 mothers will have died. Approximately 300,000 women a year die during pregnancy or childbirth. And the thing is that most of this is avoidable. Okay, we're aware, I'm sure, of your Millennium Development Goals because you're all good student midwives. You know about these things. You know that we're aiming to reduce maternal mortality by 75% in 2015. Are we likely to do that? Heck no. Absolutely not. WHO, though, the World Health Organization, is supporting countries to develop integrated cost-effective care and in training midwives. So they understand the importance of midwives in helping to change and affect the type of care that women and babies receive, and hopefully improving their health and well-being. So these main causes of maternal death, and again, I'm sure you're familiar with these. 70% of maternal deaths worldwide are due to severe bleeding, infection, unsafe abortion, and hypertension disorders. And in the UK, we don't get let off lightly. We are supposedly a developed country, and yet in the UK, in the triennium between 2006 to 2008, 261 women died directly or indirectly related to pregnancy and childbirth. And I think the really important thing to notice is at the bottom of this slide, the substandard care was evident in 70% of the direct deaths and in 55% of the indirect deaths. So, in the UK, the leading cause of death was genital tract infection or sepsis infection, something that can be prevented. Then preeclampsia and eclampsia. On a positive note, there is some evidence that there is a reduction in the inequalities gap because there is a decrease in the maternal mortality rates among those in the most deprived and lower socioeconomic groups. But let's first of all look at this international definition of the midwife. Why are midwives well placed to contribute to the health and well-being of women and their babies? Midwife should be somebody who successfully completed a midwifery education programme. For some of you, that will be sooner rather than later. You're required to have the requisite qualifications to be registered or legally licensed in the country in which you practice. But here's the good thing, the scope of practice. Look at that scope of practice. It's scary. We're responsible and accountable. We're meant to work in partnership. We're meant to support, care, and advise in pregnancy, labour, and postpartum period. We're meant to do things that are preventative, promote normal birth, detect complications, and also carry out emergency measures. We also have important tasks in health counselling, education, not only for the women, but also the family and the community. We also are meant to prepare, as we've heard, for parenthood and may extend to women's health, sexual or reproductive health and childcare. And we're meant to do this within the context of homes, communities, hospitals, clinics or health units. How many hours a day do we work? Okay, so midwives and public health. I believe very strongly that we're really well placed to influence the health and well-being of mothers and babies. And there have been numerous strategies that have been printed in each of the four countries in the UK to say about how midwives can influence and do this. And we're all very aware of the social determinants of health, about the conditions in which we all are born, grow, live, work, and age. And parents who are fit, as we've heard at the beginning of pregnancy, generally have a healthier baby and give their babies a much better start in life. So, if we just look at a few of the things that have been identified by CMASH, some of those big hitters, those reasons why women die or have morbidity features after childbirth. We are there to support, care and advise, promote, prevent, counsel at every opportunity. And we try to take those opportunities. So I'm just going to talk to you about those big hitters. Okay, hemorrhage and preeclampsia. Why is it important to us? It's important because while deaths from hemorrhage have fallen, deaths from preeclampsia have not. We need to be able to recognise symptoms early and act on them. We have got lots of lovely record systems now, haven't we? Early warning systems. But still we are not recognising when women are unwell. There is a lack of clinical knowledge and skills, and they, unfortunately, are the leading cause of mortality. And we also need to remember that we need to communicate with our other health professionals and refer as appropriate. That continues to be one of the main reasons why there are problems within maternity services. Failure to communicate and refer as a priority. So what can midwives do? Regular training. Of course, we all have our mandatory training. We're all meant to be upskilled. We're all meant to be really good at acknowledging our own competency levels, our own levels of when we need to get further training. And communication, communication, communication. And when in the research that I did into bullying, that actually was identified as an issue as well. One of the reasons why midwives fail to communicate well among each other is because of bullying. And yet we expect them to communicate not only well among themselves, but with other professionals. And it isn't always happening. We need to refer as a priority. And I think very importantly, we need, as midwives, to trust our instincts. Sometimes the machinery that we have, sometimes all the sophisticated material in the world that we have at our fingertips will not tell us what we know, what we see in the women that we're caring for. There will be times that you will suddenly think there's something wrong here. And if that's what you feel, you need to trust your instincts. That's something I think as student midwives, you've already been able to capture those instances where you've had that gut feeling there's something wrong. So please listen to your instincts. It doesn't always have to be a piece of paper, a result written down. Sepsis. Why do I want to talk to you about sepsis? Well, in that triennium that I talked to you about, 2006-08, 29 women died from genital tract sepsis. That's incredible. In a 3-year period. And while we hear lots and lots about hospital-acquired infections, actually the reason why most of these women were dying from the sepsis was from a community-acquired infection. And by the time they came for help and sought help, it was too late. Or they came and sought help and it wasn't recognised as being a problem and they were sent home. So again, what can midwives do? Midwives can inform pregnant women and advise them about how to prevent and the signs and symptoms of sepsis. They can advise and encourage women to seek help early And that's quite difficult to do within our healthcare service, where we're all really pushed. Where another woman comes to the door and is looking to be admitted, you're like, oh, not another lady, we're already full. But it is about encouraging women to seek help appropriately, and also then referring and seeking appropriate support as a midwife. Perinatal mental health, we've already heard why that is so important. In women suffering from serious mental health illness, suicide is substantially elevated. And you know what, guys? It's not among the population that we would normally associate with suicide. Over half of the maternal suicides were in the white population. They were married, they were employed, they were in comfortable circumstances, and over 30 years of age. Not the typical people that we would expect to take their own life. So what can midwives do? Again, it's taking the opportunities. It's asking. It's asking the right questions. It's building up that relationship. It's seeking to find out what it is about that woman. And it's also about trusting your instinct. It's asking about medication, because many women who have got mental health problems will stop their medication when they become pregnant. And in many instances, that's quite unsafe for them to have done so. We need to refer women to with a previous history of a mental illness to a specialised psychiatric service. How many of us know where they are available and who we can refer to? Some do, yeah, and that's good. But there's not a lot of services out there that are specifically tailored to women who need very specialised care and attention. We need to listen to women. We need to monitor and support them, not only throughout their pregnancy, but for 3 months afterwards. Who does that? How many professionals do women get passed on to during that three-month period after their pregnancy ends? It's very easy for them to get lost in the system. And something that I think we should be trying to ask for more as midwives is for specialised mother and baby units, where mothers and babies can be kept together after they've had their baby, if the mother does need some in-hospital maternal health assessment and management. Lots of those services are not yet freely available. Domestic abuse. Again, we've heard some of the statistics here today already about the frequency of domestic abuse. 1 in 10 women will experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. That's a startling statistic. And in pregnancy, it is more likely to start, because that is one of those trigger moments within a woman's life. So we need to be aware as midwives about that. So again, what can we do? You're all familiar with routine inquiry, yeah? We need to ask. We need to give the information to all women. We need to see all women alone at least once during the antenatal period. Does that happen? No. Late bookers, poor attenders, what do we think? They're just not turning up? Maybe they're locked in their house? Maybe they're not allowed to turn up? If a woman has an injury, you see a bruise, you see a cut, you see a mark, do you ask them about that? And if you ask, you have to be prepared for the answer. And you have to be prepared to follow it up. Maternal weight. Again, we've heard a little about that today. Why is it that it's so important? And I heard earlier today about bariatric services for women with bariatric surgery who are getting now very specialised care and attention at antenatal clinics. So there is some development in this area. But again, we know that obesity is a very important risk factor for thromboembolism. And we know that in cardiac disease, 61% of those who died from cardiac disease were overweight or obese. And yet, what do the confidential inquiries tell us? That on many occasions, a BMI is not recorded in the notes. So how are we meant to judge if we haven't got the information? Record a BMI. It seems simple, doesn't it? But in a busy clinic, people hassled, harassed, maybe only one set of scales, you know, we can understand how these things happen. We also need to communicate again with other professionals and refer women for help and support. So, not to keep you too long, we have a take-home message again. The health and well-being of the mother obviously impacts on the baby. So what can we do as midwives? We need to ask questions. We need to inform women, give them the information they need. We need to advise women of the risks. We need to listen to women and be prepared to act on what it is they tell us. We need to document, and we need to refer as a priority. And we also need to follow up. On many, many occasions, people will feel, oh, I referred somebody to their GP, or I referred somebody, and the visit never happens, the woman doesn't attend, and the care never takes place. So as midwives, we have a responsibility to follow up on those referrals. So midwives, I believe, can make a big difference in the health and well-being of mothers and babies. So I think it's important, as student midwives and as midwives of the future, that you use your hands, your eyes, your ears, your skills, and your head. Listen to that little niggle in your head. And if you ever think you are too small to make a difference, try sleeping in a room with a mosquito. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.